election night coverage is on FM Talk 106.5 with up-to-the-minute results, analysis of all the races, statewide and local, with the FM Talk 106.5 political team. Your host, Sean Sullivan, on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, here we go. 8:06 FM Talk 106.5, and lots to talk about over the next couple of hours. We're going to be here until 10 o'clock tonight as we kind of gather the information from not only our area, a lot of local races of interest here, but statewide races in play as well. And we've reached out far and wide around the state, have voices coming in from all corners of the state. Jeff Poore, of course, who was in here with us on the midday show, I kept him over, and he's hanging out with us. Thanks for being here.
Got a cot rolled out for me?
It's a futon. It's a futon. And it's the stains, I don't know. It's just, I think that's
I
coffee.
Don't ask
I think
questions.
It's coffee stains.
Yeah.
But the futon will be good for you. Also, our buddy Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville. Hey, Dale.
Hey, how you guys doing? Glad to be with you.
You know, we don't have a futon for you, but we will. We'll get one for next time you come in. I'll put you on a futon as well.
I'm a three-month-old. I might take you up on that.
That's actually a good option to come down here. I know. You at least get some sleep on the couch out here. All right. I want to talk about what's going on around the state as we're watching statewide races. Of course, we'll break out for individual local races as well in southwest Alabama and up in your neck of the woods, although your neck of the woods is not exactly packed with local races.
No, there's not much going on up here. There's a couple of state Senate races where there are some runoffs in the Democratic primary, a couple of sheriff's offices and things of that nature. Nothing really all that exciting, which, you know, is actually kind of a problem for the statewide candidates who you think would do good in North Alabama, Will Ainsworth and Steve Marshall. You know, sort of the old there are guy pride. If there's not a lot of other stuff going on, there's no reason to go to the ballot. I think I had five things on my ballot, the two statewide races and a bunch of judgeships.
You know, we can do, and people have been tweeting in and texting in with what it was like at their polling place. I'll just throw mine out into the mix. I pretty much vote at the same time of day, you know, kind of consistently. And today we had a grand total of 307 that had voted. I compare that with the primary. It was, I think, 1,100 at that point at 4:45 in the afternoon for the primary. It's 307 today. Now, I don't know if that's emblematic of anything other than my actual precinct, but the low turnout, we had, what, Secretary of State Merrill say he thought it was going to be 18%.
Yeah, that seems... He always overshoots it.
Right, so you take out the factor there, and I came up with 9% turnout. That's where I am, Jeff. You said?
I said over, and there was about 10.
Dale, what do you think it's going to be?
Well, here's what I know. I went to my polling place. I was the 208th person out of 3,000 people that vote there, that are registered to vote at that particular place. So we're talking about 7%. That was about 2 or 3 o'clock. So basing solely on that and nothing more, I'll go with about 10. It's going to be low, and like we talked, you know, there's not really that big, sexy race. You know, yes, you have the lieutenant governors and the other stuff, but there just are not those big screaming races except in places like the Wiregrass and where you have Martha Roby out there slugging it out with Bobby Bright. And then obviously in y'all's area, you have a bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah, and I want to get to that, and we're going to start breaking it down, some of the numbers, but I am getting this coming in right now before we even get rolling any further. Something we were talking about back in my office, Jeff, before we walked up here, it looks like Tucker Dorsey, Baldwin County Commissioner Tucker Dorsey, has conceded now in the Baldwin County Commission District 3 runoff race. Billy Joe Underwood was had held the lead going into the runoff, and obviously took that lead and kept it, as now Tucker Dorsey has conceded.
Yeah, that was looking like a tough one for Tucker Dorsey to overcome, just given how he performed in the primary. I think, you know, you had to see a little bit of that coming.
Yeah, well, you had a situation there. Baldwin County commissioners either lost in primary, were forced into a close tie, or forced into a runoff in this case. And then Chris Elliott, who is running for state senate, you have a pretty close to upending, close to, it could have been an upending completely of the Baldwin County Commission.
Yeah, you might see some new faces, right? Just given the dynamics of it. But, well, you know, we'll find out what happens with the Elliott Northcote race and, yeah, and how that turns out.
And that's going to be one of the local ones, of course, that we pay attention to. You couldn't help but pay attention to this race, a state Senate race that has commanded a bunch of money, y'all, like I haven't seen in a state Senate race before, at least down in our neck of the woods. And, you know, obviously the carpet bombing advertising-wise and the real, real mudslinging that started fresh out the gate after the primary.
Right, and that's the one everybody in Montgomery is watching when you talk to them. The Baldwin County race, that's what's driving the turnout over there. I think that's more people are watching that Baldwin County race, that Senate race, then probably care about the stuff on the top of the ballot in many cases.
Well, because, you know, you're looking at who goes to represent the cash cow. And I don't want to get crosswise with Dale Jackson, the north end of the state, but Baldwin County, you know, is a good producer. Like Tony Soprano had his good producers. Baldwin County, a good producer for the family.
Well, that was the campaign issue. That's the ads Twinkle Kavanaugh was running about, you know, Will Ainsworth, North Alabama senator, taking money out of the pockets of Baldwin County families and spreading it around the state. That seemed to be a theme over there in this cycle.
All right, let's look at some of those statewide races. What do you see? What information do you have coming in on? We have pretty 1-2%.
In some places locally, it's a little clear. But I will say the one that's really sticking out to me right now is just how big of a lead Martha Roby has over Bobby Bright. It's almost 2-1, at least in these numbers I'm looking at. I didn't think that this was going to be it's starting to narrow, according to Montgomery Advertiser, but, you know, the national media is, there's all these national reporters in Alabama trying to get a sense of what's going on in the Wiregrass just because of the Trump intrigue and her, you know, the Billy Bush weekend thing, the way she put out a statement calling for him to step aside and what that was going to mean in this primary for her. I don't think any of that ever mattered. I think that was all just a national media thing.
Nope. Yeah, Dan, what do you think about that?
I'll tell you this. I was telling Jeff the other day, we were talking about this. Dave Weigel from the Washington Post called me and wanted to talk about that race. And, you know, geographically, David Weigel obviously didn't know what he was talking about because I'm in a completely different part of the state. But when I talked to him about it, the fact that I was very, like, telling him things like there's not very much to be said about this. This is an incumbent Republican congresswoman who has had some tough races, but she always pulls it out. Bobby Bright is probably the worst person you could put against her in a Republican primary. He's got Nancy Pelosi votes on his resume. And then you got Donald Trump coming out and doing the whole I support Martha Roby tweet thing. That kind of takes the wind out of anybody's sails. And if anyone's going to make the I'm the Trump supporter, it's not the guy who voted for Nancy Pelosi last time he was in Congress. So I'm with you guys. I just think that seems like a story that they were trying to make a story, not a story they were reporting.
Yeah, even though the facts didn't bear it out, they continued with that narrative because it, you know, fit some model they wanted to.
She just could overwhelm them. She has all the money. She has all the connections. And really, when you look at that district, it's kind of a weird hybrid district. They made the Wiregrass and Montgomery try to make it into one. So you really have two different kinds of people there. But if you had a Wiregrass candidate versus a Montgomery candidate, maybe it's more interesting, but you had two Montgomery candidates fighting for the Wiregrass, so it's a jump ball in a lot of places, and it just comes down to pure ideology. And I think, like you said, the whole Nancy Pelosi thing is just not a good sell to a lot of folks, especially in the most Republican part of the state these days.
All right. We're getting ready to go to the break. Come back. More of this. Plus, throughout the evening, probate judges from Mobile and Baldwin County checking in with us with that with the latest numbers coming in. Plus, we'll talk to Terry Lathan, Alabama GOP, coming up. Todd Stacey's going to join us. I got a lot of folks lined up to give us their take on what's going on in Alabama tonight. With, once again, y'all are saying you and Dale are both at 10%. I've taken the positive spin of 9% turnout going on. So, but y'all think I'm low. You think I'm sandbagging here or something like that. So we'll let you express your turn. Because I'm looking at the text line right now, and people are telling me, look at this one from Daphne Civic Center, a big polling place. And it says, I was number 450 on my machine, only two machines, very light turnout, possible single digits there. So, and Daphne's like a That's a precinct.
That
Buell
still goes
right
back there. There's not really a hometown boy in that part.
Isn't
of
they're voting the council? I mean, city county commission, right? And you've got Senate District 32. Come on. You know, so, I mean, yeah, they got a little something.
The election night coverage is on with up-to-the-minute results, analysis statewide and local. Sean Sullivan and the FM Talk 106.5 political team on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 8:19, FM Talk 106.5 live coverage of election night continues. And we're live as well on our stream, fmtalk1065.com. Interact with us on the text line, 343-0106. Also, you can drop us a line on Twitter, Facebook page. Dalton is here. He's getting all the information coming in through the social media platform, so you can speak with him. And the crew here, Jeff Poor is in studio, and also our buddy Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville, part of it. And tonight, throughout the evening, we'll be checking in with Terry Lathan. Also, Matt Murphy out of Birmingham. Also, we'll check in, I think, with Terry Lathan in the second hour with the Alabama GOP. Possibly getting updates this hour, if not this hour, the beginning of next hour, from probate judges in Baldwin and Mobile County. So that information coming in.
That's a pretty packed lineup.
Yeah, we are packed up. So we're going to get right to it. The two of y'all, and that would be Jeff and Dale, y'all were talking during the news break there about some of the stats coming in. Let's break down what y'all, number one, the Roby and Bright, which is something somewhat foreign to us in Southwest Alabama, but we've talked about it enough with you, Jeff, that I think there's some cursory knowledge of what's at stake there, and at least what's at question. And you said this was not going to be any kind of race, and it looks like you were right.
Well, I kept saying it was going to be minimum 12 points, but I figure about 15 points. It looks like it might be more than that. She's up 16,000 votes to 8,000 votes. I know it's pretty early, but that's like 103 boxes of 371 reporting, a little less than third. So, I mean, unless he's got some secret Bobby Bright boxes, and then these, I would assume, are coming in from the Wiregrass, not from, you know, the Prattvilles or the Autauga County or Elmore County, where she ought to be really strong.
Yeah.
So this isn't even going to be close. And, you know, all these national reporters down here, like we were talking about, sorry, you're not going to have a very good story here.
Okay, statewide races of interest as well, you know, across the 67 counties. I got to say, the Attorney General's race is probably the one I've watched most closely. Dale, what are you seeing on that?
Well, it looks like, much like that race with Bobby Bright and Martha Roby, the numbers are not that far off. Let's see, I'm looking at something now. 31% in, 62 to 37, Marshall over Troy King. That's going to be a hard one to overcome unless there's some interesting boxes out there. But it looks pretty good for Steve Marshall right now. And you know, honestly, Troy King had good name ID, but did he have good name ID? Not really. Troy King was remembered for being the guy who lost to Luther Strange, the guy who looked the other way on gambling, and just, you know, he was kind of a sad case, and he just didn't strike me as someone that was going to put up a big fight here.
Okay.
Again, this is another, he was a darling of the media as well on the Republican side. They wanted him in there, and I think they pumped him up a little bit more than he was.
But what about the negatives that people said were attached to Steve Marshall? Is this the is this a breaking of the Bentley curse? Is tonight, if Steve Marshall wins, is that Indiana Jones sequel or prequel, whatever, is that done, that Steve Marshall shows you can have the Bentley taint and still win?
Well, I mean, I would just look at it like this. Steve Marshall got appointed by Robert Bentley, and then Bentley went away. So it's kind of hard to make the argument that Steve Marshall was put there to protect Robert Bentley, because if that was the deal they cut, Steve Marshall wasn't playing.
So what do you think?
So it's hard to make that attack.
Okay, so obviously that was something that was created just by people trying to fill up, you know, radio time or print.
I just don't know what Troy King's, like, constituency is. Now, we don't know what Steve Marshall's is, but Troy King, to make a comeback, to launch a political comeback, who's pushing him? Well, we kind of know.
His wife.
Well, we kind of,
I mean, let's be real about it. His wife is pushing him. Dude, if you looked at his forms, he made less than $50,000 last year as a former AG practicing as an attorney. There were radio stations, or excuse me, television stations, apparently in Montgomery, that were reported to me that they were upset that he couldn't pay his bills. He was looking for a gig. I mean, that's what this was. I mean, I just don't think that there was a nobody was clamoring for a Troy King return to the scene, well, except for maybe gambling interest.
Yeah, outside of Macon County, Alabama, and Victory Land there.
But explain to folks too down here, because you know they'll hear gambling interest, and quite often in the discussion, people down here in our neck of the woods think the tribal, they think Porch Creeks, they think. But what we're talking about is different. We're talking about gambling inside and out, and then outside.
Right. They oppose one another,
sure,
right?
I mean, yeah.
So, you know, you have
turf battle.
In Mississippi, you have gambling interest, and then you have the gambling, and they want their slice of the pie, but they want the biggest slice.
So these gambling interests you would talk about, y'all, you're talking about the people that want the gambling outside the tribal lands.
Right.
Yeah, the people who are running the casinos that are bingo parlors, that are actually slot machines, and the entire thing is absurd. The Alabama Supreme Court has decided very clearly, and actually Troy
two
King
different
was involved
times.
In this.
Yeah, two different times,
right.
I think. That, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they decided, and Troy King was very much involved in that. He lost, and they said, this is what gambling is, and now it just basically seems like even Steve Marshall, to some degree, I mean, he's suing them, but he's basically leaving it up to local law enforcement. Well, local law enforcement is essentially beholden to local interest in Macon County and Greene County, and they want those jobs. And, you know, there's a self-defeating issue there where most of the money coming in to fund those jobs are coming from that area, but we can get into that at another time. So the sheriffs there work with those casinos, and they get money from them. And, you know, it's a very small-time operation in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, but that was the Bentley plan we all lampooned when Bentley said, we're going to put this commission together, and they're going to do whatever they're doing, and then we're going to remand this to the local jurisdiction for them to enforce. Here's the Alabama law. It's illegal, and we're going to let them enforce it. I mean, it was a cop-out then. It's a cop-out now. Either, you know, it is or isn't. And I don't know if this ends up being some kind of catalyst down the road for a referendum. You heard Kay Ivey say she was at the end there, you know, when Battle had been pushing the lottery issue. She was open to the idea of maybe these kind of things will put pressure on the legislative branch to you know, either get off the pot or do something else, right?
Like county federalism governing the state of Alabama, where the counties are, it goes back to the counties if the state can't decide.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's the whole thing. And I mean, keep in mind, Steve Marshall has been suing these casino operators. I mean, he has been doing that. He's trying to go about it a different way than sending in the cops and raiding the machines. I mean, so they're trying to do this a little bit differently, and again, we can all make a debate about whether or not this is the right way to handle it, because I would just argue, if it's illegal in the state of Alabama, the top cops should shut it down. That's how I look at it, and I'm a pro-gambling guy. Give me slot machines every day. But the problem with this issue in this election, I think why I didn't get much attention at all, is the fact that Troy King has a history of looking the other way on this. And, you know, there's not any major enforcement mechanisms going down right now, so I don't think it became too much of an issue.
Yeah, I think you, by the way, you're not going to see the inside of a jail anytime soon there, Dale, because I just saw this 37% reporting of precincts here. Marshall, 80,516. King, 45,956.
That's a bloodbath. It was supposed to be a little closer,
that's
right?
That's our backyard whooping right there. At this point, I mean, is there something to think that there are precincts that are not, you know, waiting to come in, boxes after boxes that are going to be very friendly to Troy King? Is there?
They better be in Greene County and Macon County.
Yeah, I don't know where you find them. What is his home turf is like Pike County, and you know, down 231 there. There's not enough votes that are in a Troy King stronghold for him to overcome that.
It'll be interesting to see, just on a side note, what Marshall County does. I mean, not that Marshall County is a huge area or anything like that, but Marshall County has Ainsworth, and Marshall County has Steve Marshall. If that county shows up huge, and let's say Ainsworth hangs on to the lead he has here, I mean, the two hometown boys could push him over the top. And who would have thought that Marshall County, Alabama, was going to be controlling the state? But we'll be looking at that a little bit, at least in this runoff election.
All right. Yeah, and the other county, I mean, and reading through Jeff's story over at Yellowhammer, the things that you're watching tonight, of course, you point out Limestone County as somewhat of a litmus test, a neutral ground there. Marshall County as being Homerville, which is maybe being reflected in what Dale just said. And Baldwin County, because you have a lot of people going to the polls for State District 32. And by the way, if you're just joining us, Dale Jackson from WVNN, Jeff Poore from Associated Publications at Large, like Breitbart and Landyap and Yellowhammer News. But we're talking about the numbers coming in from different parts of the state. Marshall County, y'all, like Dale just said, that's the other end of the world for us. But that is the backyard, the home there in Guntersville for Steve Marshall and Will Ainsworth. That is home cooking. And also, by the way, speaking of our neck of the woods, we would go ahead and report this again. The Tucker Dorsey has gone ahead and conceded to Billy Joe Underwood in that race early on. That was a big gulf there, not one that could be made up. So that leads us to the next part of this. Marshall County, this hotbed that y'all discussed, and Dale, you just mentioned, you said Will Ainsworth. Yeah, and Will Ainsworth, who is spent the last few days driving around the state with a porcelain tiger and a bass boat, is this what is going to push him over the finish line?
You know, ask yourself this question: who you want to have a beer with? You want to jump on Will Ainsworth's boat and ride on down to the lake for an Auburn themed lake weekend? I mean, this is, he's selling himself as this guy who had a little fun in college. Look, all three of us, I guarantee you, lived a little bit of a different life than we do now when we're in college. He took that attack, and he spun it around and said, guys, do you remember when you were 20? And I said, oh, my God, I remember when I was 30 and 35.
Last Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the first time I ever met Jeff, actually, Jeff came up and hung out with a bunch of my friends. And, you know, Jeff doesn't drink. And I know that Jeff was sitting there going, what is wrong with these
guys? Oh, it wasn't that long ago. That's a whole different show.
Hey, let's do this. We'll run the news break. We're coming right back with more of our coverage of election night in the state of Alabama. We'll get you the latest as precincts are reporting in our area up in the north end of the state with Dale Jackson, plus Todd Stacey's going to check in.
Yeah, he's ready.
All right, get Todd Stacey on in just a second as well to check in from the Montgomery area. And your questions, and if you've got information, something you're seeing out there, you can always drop us a line on the text line, 343-0106, or one of our social media platforms. We're monitoring those as well. All right, let's check in with Westwood One News, and then we will be right back.
Election night coverage is on with up-to-the-minute results, analysis statewide and local. Sean Sullivan and the FM Talk 106.5 political team on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5, and welcome back to election night coverage. Live in studio, Jeff Poore, also checking in from WVNN in Huntsville. Dale Jackson, who, Dale, it looks like, once again, you will remain out of jail as we are looking at the numbers in the AG's race. So, I mean, you could get yourself back into jail, but right now I think you'll be fine for the next week or two.
Eight lives left.
and we are checking, by the way, too. If somebody had just called in and asked about that runoff race of Baldwin County Commission, Tucker Dorsey has conceded there. And that probably, if we're looking at bigger turnout in the state of Alabama, obviously Marshall County is going to be one of those stories, but Baldwin County has a lot going on with the Senate District 32 race that has, probably a higher than our 9% predicted turnout in our area happening in Baldwin County. Also joining us with more information from the Alabama Daily News, Todd Stacey. Todd, thanks for being on with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And let's do a round of where are you right now? Because it seems like real busy in the background. What's happening?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry about the noise. I'm actually in the Renaissance Hotel here in Montgomery, downtown Montgomery, where there are actually three campaign parties going on. One is the Martha Roby party that's right in front of me. They're getting really jazzed up. I'll tell you why in a minute. The Twinkle Kavanaugh campaign is right next door. And then just down the hall is the Troy King party. So three campaign, quote unquote victory parties right here in the same little street block, basically. So it makes it really easy on the media. But yeah, it's kind of a wild scene.
What's the mood in the Troy King?
let's go to the end of the hall first, Todd.
That's actually where I started out, and they began the night pretty confident. They were seeing numbers out of North Alabama that they thought were down, and therefore, you know, helping their case a little bit. That's not what happened, and you know, it looks like he's headed for defeat. Marshall, my last numbers had Marshall up 63-37. That's going to be really hard to overcome statewide, and you know, especially with some South Alabama numbers coming. So I think Marshall is they're going to probably call it within the hour.
All right, let's go to the next ballroom there at the Renaissance. And we're peeking in on the Twinkle Kavanaugh campaign. What's the mood in there? What's the barometer say to you?
It's going to be very close. I mean, the latest numbers I have are Will Ainsworth winning 53-47. Now that's way too close to call at this point on a statewide race like that, but start to see those boxes come in very quickly, and you're going to, you know, but that's the one that everybody, including some of the reporters I'm hanging out with here, think that will be called latest into the night. So that's Twinkle, Kavanaugh, Will Ainsworth. Ainsworth's up right now, going to go into the night. We might not know for several more hours.
All right. Talk about your former boss, Roby, and in this race in particular, that, I mean, there's a lot of national media in Alabama coming to... I'm trying to make something out of this that I didn't think was there ever, and it appears just based on these results that it wasn't there. But was it your impression that the Roby camp was just kind of on guard against something happening that would have forced her, you know, would have resulted in something bad happening tonight?
Well, I think they played it safe. I mean, of course, there's a lot of national media attention. They've got to have a narrative. You know, I've seen some of what you've commented on it, Jeff, and I agree. Yes, it's about Trump, and no, it's not about Trump. It's different to every voter. But, you know, I loved how some of the national media tried to push this narrative that just because, you know, it didn't work out for Luther Strange and Roy Moore in those circumstances where Trump endorsed, that it was going to be the same in this circumstance. And they really tried to push that well, Trump's going to be 0-3. In Alabama with his endorsement. The dynamics are just so much different. I mean, you know, she's a three-term incumbent, four-term incumbent, and, you know, has a lot of just institutional and fundamental strength. It wasn't the same. Now, look, Trump coming in and endorsing her at the end, that left no question. But when you're winning, my count right now is 67-33, that's more than just the president's support. You know, they were going to have this all along. It was just nice to get it.
What's impressive about her, she's always fitted off these challengers, the Becky Garrettsons and the Rick Barbers, and she's also, like, just kind of following her around over the last few years. She's really made it work. She's a Montgomery person, but she's really kind of won over a lot of people in the outside parts of Montgomery. You talk to the mayors, you talk to the county commissioners down there, and she has that network going for her, and I think that really, really made a difference tonight.
Yeah, relationships. And look, every time a mayor or a county commissioner or, you know, somebody down in the district needs something, there's a way to go about it. There's a way to get grants. There's a way to make sure that their issues are getting paid attention to. And look, that doesn't get covered in the press. You know, it's not like that gets tweeted about and stuff, but it makes a difference. And when you have that, like you said, that solid group of mayors, county commissioners that support you, you're really doing well. But also, you got to remember the military bases. There's two huge military bases, one Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery that so many people around Montgomery work at, and, of course, sort of the adjacent Air National Guard with the F-35, you know, landing the F-35. You know, having, you know, supporting the military bases, getting on defense appropriations to actually control that funding and protect that funding is huge, you know. And so the other one's obviously Fort Rucker down there in the Wiregrass. And Fort Rucker is the thing in the Wiregrass. And so for her, you know, 2 years ago, or I guess it was 3 years ago, she went on appropriations and eventually got defense appropriations. I mean, come on. Nobody's ever had defense appropriations. And, you know, people figure that kind of stuff out. So I think those are the fundamental strengths. But look, you got to campaign. You got to politic. You got to get out there and be present. And I think they figured that out and made sure that she was there. And look, Jeff, Sean, the other thing is, you're running against Bobby Bright. I mean,
right. So you should have, Todd. You should have said that first, okay?
Well, now look, I'll say this: I've run races against Bobby Bright. he is a talented politician. He knows how to, you know, he knows how to politic. And the thing that people should understand the most about Bobby Bright is this guy has, for the, as long as I've known him and as long as I've followed him, he has gotten a free pass from the local media. The national media, too, to some degree, but the local media has just been in love with this guy. And he's been absent for 6 years or 8 years. Comes back in, and they're still fawning over him.
Well, he wasn't. He wasn't that great of a mayor, from what I've heard. I don't know. Like, what is the fascination with Bobby Bright? What has it always been?
Well, you know, say what you will about the bias of the media, but you know, he was a Democrat. He was a somewhat. He was a kind of a blue dog Democrat. You know, moderate, if you will. As far as Montgomery goes, you know, he did one big thing, and that was bring the Biscuits to town. You know, to bring the Biscuits baseball team to town, which, yeah, look, that was really great. Now, he also got a lot of criticism for some of the land deals he made to do that, some of the taxpayer money that was involved. But, you know, people liked the baseball team, so he got credit for that. You know, he had a good campaign team that first time around that really sold this idea that he was this, you know, son or grandson of sharecroppers, and son of sharecroppers, and you know, poor growing up, and just all these disadvantages, and here he is, and he's Mayor of Montgomery, and you know, that narrative, they wore that narrative out. It worked for a while. It worked for that first campaign. They tried to roll it back out this campaign, but it's kind of hard to sell this whole like rags to riches thing when he completely bankrolled his campaign. He gave his own campaign like $600,000. You know, that's not poor.
So this may be I have some breaking news here about Alvin Holmes with 88% reporting, according to the Montgomery Advertiser.
Wait a second. I want to. You can't do that to me because I'd readied myself.
Oh, it's not good.
So now go again. So Alvin Holmes.
So according to Brian Lyman, the Montgomery Advertiser, with 88% of the vote in, Alvin Holmes trails Kirk Catcher at 58-42%.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Now, this is tragic news, y'all. I mean,
so this may be incorrect, but this is according to Lyman.
Because, Todd, didn't you tell us you thought, up there in the 78th, that it looked like Holmes would pull this out? I mean, you were talking about old people and old stories, and I was thinking, wow, he's about to segue into the discussion of Alvin Holmes, who's been in the House since 1974.
Yeah, the numbers I saw before coming on the program showed that he was winning. That Alvin Holmes was winning. So that's breaking news to me. Interesting news.
Okay, so that's and I want to make sure too, because Dale Jackson from WVNN on with us. Did you hear that Alvin Holmes may lose, Dale?
That is amazing. I mean, it's very rare to hear incumbents losing, especially an incumbent in his situation, and that's going to be one of the more interesting stories. Why they threw out an old dog?
Well, that's the Joe Crowley story of Alabama, right? If he goes, but
right.
And tell
folks that what you're referencing there. What happened in New York and the kind of the shift in Democrat politics there in New York?
That's maybe an exaggeration, but the socialist, the quote unquote socialist candidate beats the longtime incumbent who's. Might as well be a socialist as well, but
I don't know. Now Alvin Holmes likes capitalism. If a big group of beer distributors would like him to bring legislation or block legislation, and they pay, that's capitalist system.
Well, I would say this. I mean, the Democratic Party in Alabama is kind of undergoing that sort of a change. I think with Randall Woodfin in Birmingham getting elected as mayor, you're seeing a lot of these old power structures sort of go away. I think they have an idea that they want new and different now. This, to me, this Alvin Holmes race looks like hardly anybody voted in it. Look, we're talking a little over 100 people, so that's...
Well, and just down the street, really in part encompassing the district, is John Knight, also state representative, running for a state Senate seat, and he got beat, too. These are two, Democratic senators who have been around for decades.
Oh, just say it. They're little old mules, right? The mules of Democrat politics. Well, you can marry a mule if you'd like to. Yeah.
Let me interject here for a second.
Right now.
Yeah, go ahead, Dale.
It's interesting. You know, we're talking about this kind of stuff, and we're talking about Alvin Holmes, and we're talking about John Knight and all these things that are happening. Just keep in mind, there is a young African-American leader in the Democratic Party from North Alabama. His name is Anthony Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the House Minority Leader, and he is, I think, trying to take that caucus in a little bit of a different direction. Now, I'm not saying he was out there campaigning against these guys and stuff like that. That's not my point. But I know this guy, and I know that he's been trying to recruit people to run for office. And this might be, just as was just expressed, the Randall Woodfins of the world. And I can't remember her name up in New York, but we all know who we're talking about here. There might be an insurgency happening inside the Democratic Party here in the state of Alabama, because the old dogs have been around for a long time, and this might be a part of putting some of those out to pasture.
Yeah, because the Democratic Party in Alabama right now is basically what was left over from 2010 and the old AEA, and it's just kind of over time gone away little by little. But now it's kind of having to go through that metamorphosis, that new rebirth. I think that's where we're at right now with the Democratic Party in Alabama. And there's something to be said about Doug Jones winning last year, getting some people interested. So, you know, while it's still going to be a Republican state, I think we're generations and generations away from any that changing. There is something going on within the Democratic Party in Alabama.
Yeah, and by the way, too, just joining us, our whole crew assembled here, and we're going to add to it throughout the evening. Jeff Poore in, Dale Jackson from WVNN, Todd Stacey from the Alabama Daily News. All right, so as you look down that hallway of the ballrooms at the Renaissance there, kind of quiet from the Troy King room. It's what, just light muttering from Twinkle Cavanaugh, and it's roars of success from Roby. Is that about right?
That's right. I think Roby is coming to the stage to speak, so they've kind of closed the doors, and everybody's, I think they're waiting to do a live hit on TV.
All right, so that's done.
Door, and they're pretty quiet. I think everybody's waiting to see how those numbers are. Y'all probably have the better numbers in front of you.
Yeah, and we got, yeah, we do. We have some new numbers in on that, and we're going to get to these when we get back from the break. Todd Stacey with the Alabama Daily News, thank you for your time. Thanks for the update, and we'll be reaching out to you next hour.
You bet.
All thanks, right. Todd.
Hey, and as we run to the break here, I want to go just some local races of interest. You want to talk about, as my grandfather used to say, this is tighter than Dick's hat band right here. As you look at it just moved. All right, the Court of Criminal Appeals. That with 49% reporting. Edwards, 70,426. Thomason, 57,334. Also, this screen is moving on me, and we just had some update on the Place 6 judicial, and it's moved here on me. If somebody else has it, the back, there we go. Circuit Judge, Place 6, Brandy Hambright, 9,310. Satterwhite, 9,291. District Judge, Place 4, I know I got a bunch of people asking me about this on the text line, 70% of precincts in. Cherry Goddess is 10,547. Zogby, 8,715. That one is starting to stretch out just a little bit. And we'll give you the latest stats from around the state and here at home when we return with election night coverage on FM Talk 106.5. We'll grab your text, too, at 343-0106.
Election night coverage is on with up-to-the-minute results, analysis statewide and local. Sean Sullivan and the FM Talk 106.5 political team on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 8:53 FM Talk 106.5, and election night coverage continues here. Jeff Poore with Lane Yap at Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Also Dale Jackson from WVNN. Guerrilla politics that you hear here on Saturdays at 11:30. And also a man who looks like will avoid jail time in the near future by one of the outcomes here, with Steve Marshall looking like pulled outside, no chance. I mean, I don't know. I hate saying things like that. I'm not a very concrete person, but it looks like Troy King has no chance here.
No, it's over.
Yeah, they've called it.
They've called it. Okay.
Yeah. So the real winner in that race is me. I want to point that out. I'm the real winner in that race. Four more years of out of jail unless I do something else. So we're doing good.
It's looking bad for dial time here.
Really?
With 63%.
So, and what you're talking about, we're talking about the Ag and Industry Commissioner.
Yeah, with 63% of the boxes in, it's a 13-point lead, 56-43 for paid.
All right. Even with the jingle.
Well, he went negative at the end with the domestic violence stuff and all of that. And I you know, the dial time thing was clever, and I think that's the whole reason he got into the runoff in the first place.
Yeah. It was good. I don't know why he switched away from that. He must have seen polling. I mean, Dial's an old dog too.
Yeah.
To keep using the same phrase over and over again, but he is, so he's connected. He had to see something else. That he knew he had to get out there. And just like with Twinkle, I mean, Twinkle Cavanaugh, it's got to be kind of the same thing. There's no reason for her to do what she did if the messages they were pushing was everything's fine. You don't go negative like that unless the numbers tell you that you need to.
Yeah, you don't get on, you don't call this show that you've never gone on before and be on the show on Monday morning if things are going swell. Hey, by the way, looking at State Senate District 32 race, it is so much of a conversation here at our neck of the woods, Dale. As the latest number, I have 81% reporting, and Chris Elliott, 8,352. David Northcutt, 8,091. That's tight.
That is tight.
That's really tight. Yeah. Because Baldwin County is funny, and I'll say this because those of us down here are getting it, but I'm preaching, you know, just to Dale in North Alabama. Baldwin County is funny. If you look at numbers, there are pockets of Baldwin County that vote like Central Alabama, vote like Roy Moore country. There's pockets of Baldwin County that, if it wasn't for the fact that you had a Trip Pittman effect, would vote like a Luther Strange.
Well, everybody.
District. I mean, there's Shelby County next to Etowah County, next to other county, all in one county.
Because everybody looks at Baldwin County and they think, well, it's the same as Mobile, or they think
it's not
beach,
monolithic.
And
yeah.
It's a big county from the top, very top of the where it meets Monroe County, all the way to the coast. There's 80 miles of real estate there.
And there's different kind of folks.
And it changes. It starts at the top. It's more like a kind of lower Alabama kind of culture. And as you go down, it gets suburban, and it you get like retirement sort of, you know, and it's not a monolith, so you really got to understand the dynamics of Baldwin County to do well there.
All right, let's get y'all's take here. Like you mentioned, the Sainsworth and Twinkle Cavanaugh with the Marshall County, the Marshall County effect, obviously very important for Will Ainsworth. Is there, you said Twinkle lives in Montgomery area, is there a pocket of that we're waiting for, that the boxes?
Bump?
Are there boxes in a certain area that are going to be really
let's
strong?
Let's ask another question.
Okay.
Let's ask another question here. Has anyone talked to anybody who's like, yeah, I'm all about some Twinkle? I don't know where her support is. I have no, I host a radio show just like you do, Sean. I don't think I had a single person call in and be like, I love me some Twinkle Cavanaugh.
I'll tell you what, the yard sign effect, right? So I don't think I have had a call or a text people that were excited about Twinkle. But at the same time, the Luther Strange yards had Twinkle signs in them this time.
Okay. All right.
This is my very unscientific, from the radio station to the grocery store to the house route.
She's the Spring Hill, Old Cloverdale, Mountain Brook candidate. She's the old country club candidate.
Yeah, but at the same time, how does, you know, I've just gotten to know Will Ainsworth, you know, here recently through this campaign. How does he not have some of that? I don't see him as being wild-eyed vandal or Hun coming in from the political fringes. I mean, here's a guy who's, I mean, if you want to kind of paint the picture of a normal Alabama politician, I mean, from what I've seen, Will Ainsworth does that as well.
Yeah, he's just kind of, but he's kind of new to it, right? He hasn't been in the game as long as Twinkle. We've been talking about Twinkle Cavanaugh since I was a kid.
She's
been involved in the Republican Party politics for a long, long time, so I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just a law of diminishing returns after a while, having such name ID that people are like, well, because Twinkle's not a name you forget.
You know, it's also, you know, when you watch these things, you have to think about this. If she was a congresswoman and she was running for her seat for like the 8th time or 15th time even, she could win. But what's happening here, and not that she can't win this, it's still very close, she's jumping from seat to seat to seat. So not only are you a career politician, people will get that vibe,
yeah,
but you're also office hopping as well.
Yeah, and, what is the old thing? What are you running for? What do you got? Run for that. Yeah. Coming right back up against the news break. Of course, Dale Jackson checking in, Jeff Poore. Many guests coming up next hour. Plus, we'll check in with probate court judges in Baldwin County, Mobile County. Get the latest information from them as well.
Talk for both sides of the bay. FM.